John chapter 8. In verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, we be Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. Our Lord had been speaking, declaring he's the light, and some believed on it. And when our Lord made this statement that if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. That'll be the evidence that you're truly mine. You'll continue in faith to the end. When he heard this, and he said in the truth, you'll know the truth. The truth shall make you free. There's an immediate freedom Christ gives when he saves his people. You're free. But as you grow in grace and through much tribulation and him continuing to deliver you, continuing to save you from your own sin nature and showing you what you are, you grow to know more. He's all your liberty. Christ is all our liberty. He is our redeemer, our liberator, who keeps his people free. When he said this, they said, well, we be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How say you that we shall be made free? Now, they were in bondage at this time to Rome. And they had been in bondage many times throughout history. But what they're speaking about here is they're saying spiritually they are free. And their confidence was, we be Abraham's seed. That was their confidence. And the Lord said here, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. Now, they had to have thought of Ishmael when he said this. They boasted, we be Abraham's children. And our Lord speaks of a slave here. And they had to have been reminded that Ishmael was also Abraham's child. And the only thing Ishmael did to be a slave was to be born. That's it. He really did nothing. He was born. He was born of Abraham and Hagar, and it's a picture of a sinner coming into this world under the curse and condemnation of the law because of Adam's transgression and being born with a sin nature so that we're bound by our sin nature. And they showed here by what they said, they showed here what the sin is that made everything they did to be committing sin. They said, we're Abraham's seed. In other words, this is our confidence. We trust that we're the children of Abraham. That's where their confidence was. Their confidence was not Christ. And the scripture says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Because they didn't believe on Christ, everything they did was committing sin. Now, if you saw these men, you wouldn't think. You would think they were righteous. These were some of the most religious folks there were. And you wouldn't have looked to them and said, these men commit sin. But because they didn't believe on Christ, everything they did was committing sin. Our Lord said, when the Spirit of God's come, he will convince you of sin because you believe not on me. And because they didn't believe on Christ, without faith in Christ, those that come and believe Christ are righteous before God, saved by God's grace, free by Christ redeeming us and setting us free. But without faith in Christ, everything a man does, his very best deeds in religion, is committing sin. All of it. And that's what he was telling them. We committed sin in Adam. And we can't free ourselves from that. You picture a man who has a big, large estate. And he has slaves. And those slaves are not sons. They're not part of the family. And so at any point, they can be put out of the house. But the son, his firstborn son is the heir. He gives his firstborn son the whole estate. And if the son purposed to set some of those slaves free, he can. And if he sets the son, the slave free, he's free indeed. And that's what we have in the gospel. That's what we have in the gospel. Christ came and he set his people free by his work on the cross. And he comes and sets his people free by his work in the heart. Now, we read on and we're going to see here what this liberty consists of. It's clearly stated here, and I hope I can go through all of this and show you. Now, first of all, it's liberty from the dominion of our sin nature by the living word, creating a new man. We have to be born of God. We have to be born with a new spirit, a new man created that was not there. He says here, I know that you are that are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. They were not born of the word. They heard him speak it audibly, but it's more than that. It's Christ speaking effectually into the heart. It's the living word. Remember what Peter said? We were born the first time of corruptible seed from Adam, but we must be born again of incorruptible seed by the word that liveth and abideth forever. This is the word whereby the gospel is preached to you. This is Christ, the living word. He has to be formed in the heart. And when he's formed in the heart, there's a new man. Until then, if you looked at all their works, just outwardly looked at them, here they were calling on God's name. Here they were trying to observe the ceremonies of the law. They had just observed the Feast of Tabernacles for a whole week. Here they were going through all these ceremonies and everything that God commanded. And because it was all done in their flesh, everything they were doing was enmity against God. It was enmity against God. Why? Because they were trying to come to God by those works. And if you just listen to them as you go through this chapter and through the whole epistle or through the whole gospel of John, this is what you find. Pharisees are always accusing Christ, wrangling with Christ over the scripture, over the word, accusing his disciples. You don't find his people doing that. You don't find his people whose hearts are broken. You don't find them doing that. They only the Pharisees you see doing that. They, from the beginning, he said, I'm the light. And they began to reject him. You're bearing witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. And I'll tell you something else you look for when you go through John. Look how many times the Lord Jesus speaks of the fact that you must be born from above. That's what he told them back up in John 8 when they started fussing with him and saying that his witness was not true. He told them, you don't know me nor my father. And he said in verse 23, you are from beneath. I'm from above. You are of this world. I'm not of this world. He's telling them, until you're born from above, you can't know me. I said, therefore, to you, you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins. So everything they had done was enmity against God because they did not believe the word. They were not born of the incorruptible seed. But when you're born of that living word and born of that incorruptible seed, that's when you begin to experience what true liberty is. Because now your sin nature, before it dominated you, now it's not going to dominate you because Christ reigns in the heart. Now, here's the next thing. He said, verse 38, I speak that which I've seen with my father. You do that which you've seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham's our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I've heard of God. This did not Abraham. He said, if you were Abraham's children. Now they were physically, but he's saying here, if you were the spiritual children of Abraham, and those who are given faith in Christ, they're the true children of Abraham. They're the true children. And he said, and if you were the spiritual children of Abraham, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man which told you the truth, which I've heard of God. This did not Abraham. Everything that Abraham did, his works, the only reason his works are mentioned is because they were works of faith. He believed God. And this is the second thing. When he gives you a new nature, this liberty is a liberty to believe on Christ. We couldn't do this before. Well, we were in bondage to our sin nature. We could not believe on Christ. The carnal mind is enmity against God. And all the carnal mind focuses on is fleshly things, earthly things. Touch not, taste not, handle not. That's it. But when he gives you this new heart, with it, he gives you faith to believe on Christ. All the works of Abraham were works of faith. What were some of them? What were some of the works? Well, God found him in the Ur of Chaldee. He was in the land of idolatry. His family were idolaters, and he was worshiping idols himself. But when Christ came to him, you notice he said to them there, I'm a man that's told you the truth, which I heard of God. And he said, Abraham didn't do what you're doing. You're trying to kill me. Christ is the one who went to Abraham and preached the gospel to him. Whether he used a man or not, I don't know. But it was Christ, the mediator, who came and preached the truth to him. And what happened when he preached the gospel to him? Did Abraham try to kill the Lord? Did he reject the Lord like these men were doing? No. You know what he did? He believed God. He believed on Christ. And you know what that work, first work was that he did? He left all his former religion. He left it. And that's what Christ is telling them. If you were children of Abraham, you would drop this notion that you can make yourself righteous by your own works. You would stop looking at yourselves and looking at others and exalting yourself over others, and you would follow me. You would believe me. That's what Abraham did. Then Abraham, we saw, he didn't go out perfectly. There was sin mixed with Abraham's faith. But eventually God carried him on out. And when he got out, he saw the famine, the trial. He went down into Egypt. But whenever God brought him to himself and showed him his sin, what did he do? He repented. He went back to where he started, went back to the altar where he first began. That's what God works in his children when he gives you faith. Whenever you turn aside, like Abraham did when he went down to Egypt, God speaks his word and you hear his word and he grants you repentance and you go back to Christ. You go to Christ and you rest in Christ. That was the work of Abraham. He said, if you were children of Abraham, you'd do what Abraham did. You'd repent and believe on me. Here's something else Abraham did. Lot's herdman and Abraham's herdman got into a strife. And Abraham, he was the one that God used to bring Lot out of idolatry. He was the one who had preached the gospel to Lot. Lot should have submitted to Abraham, but he didn't. And Abraham submitted to Lot. He esteemed Lot better. And he said, Lot, let there be no strife between us. We're brethren. We'll stop this strife. We're brethren. And he said, Lot, take whatever you want. Take whatever you want. And Lot lifted up his eyes to Sodom, and there was this well-watered plain. And he looked around, and everything where Abraham was rocky and not as much way to feed the cattle. And Lot said, I want that well-watered plain. And he took it. And Abraham gave it to him. That was a work of faith. You know why? Abraham believed God was his shield and his exceeding great reward, and that God would provide for him. I tell you something else Abraham did by faith. Some kings came down and they took Lot captive in Sodom. This brother who had just taken advantage of Abraham and took the richest part of the land, took that which was the most valuable and left Abraham with this rocky place. He's taken captive. Do you think Abraham said, "Well, I knew God was going to take vengeance on him. I knew God was going to take care of him." Abraham got his men together and he went down there and he conquered that king and he delivered his brother Lot. That's mercy, ain't it? That's grace. Well, how did he do that? He believed God. And then when the king of Sodom said, "Thank you for coming and helping me," he said, "Now, you take all the spoils and just give me the men." Abraham said, "Nope." He said, "You give my men just enough spoils to feed them and their families." He said, "But I won't even take a shoelace from you, because I'm not going to have the king of Sodom saying he made me rich." You know what that was? That was faith in God. And God appeared to him after he gave all that man to Lot, and then after he defeated that king, God appeared to him. He said, "Lift up your eyes, Abraham. Everything you see, I'm giving it to you. I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward." These were works of faith that Abraham did. Abraham was a sinner. God's people are still sinners. Abraham, he got into a season of unbelief, and he thought God needed him to help him out to produce that promised son. So he takes up and marries Hagar and produces a son, Ishmael. And that whole marriage was a marriage of fornication, because he was married to Sarah. And it was a whole, for 20-something years, while Ishmael was growing up in his house, that was a sin the whole time, unbelief the whole time. But again, when God came to him and said, "Cast Ishmael out," that's his son. You know what Abraham did? He packed his bags and sent him out. That's repentance. That's faith. And as God grows his child and teaches you Christ is all your liberty, he's all your righteousness, he's all your holiness, he makes you put away all your works, all your old covenant works, and all your old covenant confidences, and all your confidences in yourself, and trust Christ more and yourself less. That's what's pictured in that. And the Hebrew writer said, by faith, Abraham, I got to mention the greatest thing. Then God came to him and said, "Abraham, offer up your only son." God didn't regard Ishmael as his son, because he wasn't. Not spiritually. Only Isaac, the son God produced. And he said, "Abraham, offer up your only son, Isaac." And Abraham did it. By faith. By faith. He saw Christ. He saw Christ's day. He said, "The Lord shall provide." And by faith, he sojourned through that whole wilderness, because he wasn't looking at anything here below as being his home. He was looking for that city whose builder and maker is God, and he died in faith. And that's what Christ is saying. First off, you have to be made free by being given a new nature. Secondly, you have to be made free by God giving you faith in Christ to see he has gone to the cross and he's put away the sin of his people. And his people have died in him. And his people arose in him. And he makes you see him seated high and lifted up on the cross. And he makes you see him on the cross. And he makes you see him seated at his right hand. And he makes you to know there's your life. There's your righteousness. And you cast it all on him. And you trust him. That's what Abraham did. That's what Abraham did. So, here's the next thing. He said, verse 41, "You do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of that fornication. We have one father, even God." Now, they're probably accusing our Lord here being illegitimate. But what they're really saying here is, we're not illegitimate children like Ishmael. We're sons of promise. And what they're saying, we're not sinners. That's what they're saying. We're not sinners. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Here's the third thing. This is liberty to love Christ. When he sets you free, he gives you liberty from your sin nature, creating a new man. He gives you liberty to believe him and trust he's all. And he gives you liberty to love him. To love him. He said, why did he say you would love me? He said, if God were your Father, you would love me because I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. I put an article in one of the bulletins a few weeks ago. That Spurgeon preached on this. I just took some of the sermon and put it in an article. But he was talking about how if you're in a foreign country, and I thought about Jonathan when I read it. He's way over there, you know, in another country. And if your father sent you a letter or he sent you, I know what that's like, being way away from home. You get lonesome. From your people. But if you got a letter from your father, you would cherish that, you'd hold on to it, you'd receive it, you'd just be so thankful for it. But what if he sent you his son? What if he sent you your brother, your elder brother to you? You'd just lay hold to him and there'd be nothing but love in your heart for him. Christ said, if God was your father, you'd know I'm your elder brother. I came here. God the Father sent me here to his sons and his daughters. Christ is the firstborn son of God. And as a son over his own house, that is, God the Father entrusted all his elect sons and daughters to Christ. And Christ is the firstborn son over the whole house who came to save the whole house and set them all free. That's what he came to do. And he said, if God was your father, you'd love me because you know this is what I came to do. And when you love him, you love those that are begotten of him. That's what John said. And I'll tell you something else. You go home and you read 1 John 3. I believe everything that our Lord said here in John 8 is what John wrote all his epistles from. And especially 1 John chapter 3. That new man born of God doesn't commit sin. There's an incorruptible seed in him. He's created of God. It's the hidden man of the heart, which is not corruptible. This thing of being freed from sin is not just that you stop committing sin, though he will make you love good works and he will make you hate your sin. But it's more than that. You got to have a perfect, pure, holy heart, a new man. And that new man's got to be righteous and holy in and by Christ with no sin. Or God can't, he can't just receive us if we're just a little better than we were. You got to be perfect to be accepted of God. He's the only one that does this. And when you see that God the Father sent his Son and he came to save all the children of the house, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, you fall in love with him. And that's everything Abraham did in his love and his faith toward the Lord was constrained by the love of Christ for him. And everything he did toward Lot was by the love of Christ for him. When after he gave Lot everything, and then it was amazing that he went back down there and saved Lot, but then Lot went back to Sodom again. But then when Abraham heard that God was going to destroy Sodom, you know what Abraham did? He interceded with God for Lot, prayed for him. Lord, you won't destroy a righteous man with the wicked, will you? You mean he still looked at Lot as a righteous man? God did, because he is in Christ. And Abraham loved him because he was in Christ. And because Christ was in Abraham. That's love. That's the love God works in the heart. And our Lord told them here in John 8, he said, if you were If God was your father, you'd love his son. You'd love his firstborn son. And you'd love the rest of the children in his house too. Listen to John. Let me see if I can find this. He said, in John, 1 John 5, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. That's so, brethren. He said back up in chapter 4, verse 20, if a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? This is the commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. And he that's born of God keeps that commandment. He believes Christ as Christ commanded, and he loves his brethren as Christ commanded. Because he has the love of Christ constraining him. Now back in John 8. It's his liberty now. It's liberty from the sin nature. Liberty to believe on Christ. Liberty to love Christ and love our brethren. And then verse 43. He says, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You're of your father the devil. The lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. This is a liberty he gives you to hear the word of God. He said, why don't you understand my speech? You can't hear my word. Oh, they could hear it audibly, but they couldn't hear it in the heart. They couldn't hear it with spiritual discernment. And so when you can't hear the word of God with spiritual discernment, you know what you'll listen to? You'll listen to the lies of the devil turning you from Christ back to the works of your flesh. The devil was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. He's a created angel that God created. But when he heard that the Son of God was going to come lower than the angels, he was a created angel. When he heard the Son of God was coming lower than the angels and become a man, that he as a man might save his people and be exalted above the angels and above the devil, and also exalt his people above the angels. Satan said, I'm not having him reign over me. I'm not. And he didn't abide in the truth. And he was a murderer from the beginning. He wanted to murder Christ from the beginning. And he essentially murdered Adam and Eve, our first parents, in the garden by his lie. As God said, in the day you eat of this tree, you'll die. You shall not surely die. God's hiding something from you. He knows when you eat of this tree, you're going to know good from evil. Don't you want to be like God? Don't you want to be free from God? And they believed him. And Adam ate with his eyes wide open and plunged us all into sin. And ever since then, the devil's motive, his motive has been to turn God's people from Christ, to kill Christ and turn his people from Christ. That's been his motive all along. You see it throughout history when at different times they murdered the male children of the children of Israel. Who was doing all that? That was the devil trying to keep Christ from coming into the world. That's exactly what it was. Because he knew he was coming to crush his head. And I'll tell you what he'll do. Anybody who is a child of the devil, that's what our Lord's telling these men, you're children of the devil. You can't hear me. That's why you're not. This liberty Christ gives is a liberty from the power and fear and bondage of the devil. But a person who's not been made to hear the word, just hear it with the carnal ear, they won't abide in the truth. To abide in the truth is what Christ began talking about. If you're my disciples indeed, you're going to continue in my word. Doing what? Believing on me and loving your brethren all the way to the end. But if you're not born of this word, you're not going to continue. The child of the devil won't continue abiding in the truth. And I'll tell you what he'll do. He'll do what the devil did. He'll murder everybody on his way out. to justify his rebellion. Cain is a child of the devil. He's an example. He heard the truth. He heard Adam declare to his sons, "You've got to come to God in the blood of a lamb." He knew that. What did he do? He abode not in the truth. He came with the works of his hand. And when God didn't receive his offering, and he received his brother's offering, he was angry. And God said, "Why are you angry? If you believe on me, if you trust my son, if you come in the blood of the lamb, shall not your offering be received?" But what did he do? He murdered his brother Abel rather than believe God and abide in the truth. And that's what every child of the devil would do. But this liberty Christ gives is a liberty from that. Hebrews 2 said, that's what he came to do. Let me read it. He came down here. Hebrews 2 says, verse 14, "As much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, Christ also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who were through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." That's why it took on him the seed of Abraham. What he did was, and even by going to the cross, you know how he went to the cross? He let the devil have his way for a little season. And the devil did what he'd always been wanting to do. He moved his children to nail Christ to the cross and murder the Prince of Life. And he thought he was destroying Christ by it. But Christ, by that, put away the sin of his people and crushed the devil's head. He took his power away, because the only thing the devil has as power is to accuse God's people of sin. And Christ took it away. He got no sin to accuse you of. Who should lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. It's Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again, whoever liveth to make intercession for us. There is nobody that can charge God's people with sin, and the devil can't do it anymore. God might, he might let the devil sift you. And you know how the devil sifts? He sifts differently from the Lord. You look at the Lord and how you see Abraham's sin and you see David's sin and then you see their good works and you see their sin, you see their good works. You come to the New Testament and all God talks about is their good works. Robed in Christ's righteousness, perfect in Christ, all their works cleansed by his blood and accepted of God. The devil does the opposite. He takes out all the good works and just puts all the seasons of sin together. And that's all he talks about. Accusing the brethren. God's delivered his people from that. He's delivered his people from that. His people love the brethren. They love the brethren. Now look here. He said, Jesus answered them. Well, they answered him. They said, "We're saying you are Samaritan. You have a devil." He said, "I'm not a devil. I honor my father and you dishonor me. I seek not my own glory. There's one that seeks and judges." Everything the Lord did was seeking the glory of God. And this is a liberty he gives us too, to want to give God the glory. This is why we have our sin. This is why we mourn our sin, because we want to give him the glory. But we're not seeking our own glory. We're not seeking our own glory. That's what we did when we were in bondage to sin. We sought our own glory. But Christ here, he wasn't seeking his own glory. He said, "My Father seeketh and he judgeth. I'm trusting it to him. I'm leaving it in his hand." And that's what the Lord teaches you. Leave it all in his hand. "Verily I say unto you, if a man shall keep my saying, he'll never see death." This is the next thing about this freedom. Freedom from death. Freedom from death. I'll tell you something. When you have the Son, you have life. He that hath the Son hath life. Eternal life. We're not waiting on eternal life. Eternal life is not something we're going to get when we die. If you have the Son, you believe the Son, you have eternal life right now. And I'll tell you something that the devil and nobody else stands a chance against: a man in whom God... Now, we're no match for the devil, but God, by keeping you knowing that you have eternal life in Christ the life, you can't control a man that has no fear of death. You can't control it. Worst you can do is take his life, and that'd be doing him a favor. You can't control a man. A man that's scared of death, you can control him. A man that has no fear of death, he can't be controlled. Why? Because he wants to be with his Savior. He wants to be with his Lord. He's not getting troubled by death. He's been freed from death. Christ has given us the victory. He's given us the victory. Where there is no sin, there is no death. Where there's righteousness, there is no death. Where there's eternal life, there is no death. He that believes on me shall never die, Christ said. He delivered us. Oh, they said, the Jews said, now we know you have a devil. Abraham's dead and the prophets, and you say if a man keep my saying, he'll never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It's my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say he's your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and I keep his saying. And your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. And the Jews said to him, you're not yet 50 years old. How have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, for Abraham was, I am. He's that I am. He's that I am. He's God. And this is a liberty to believe he is the Son of God. This is the question. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Who is he? This is a liberty to believe he is God. He is God. He's the I am. When you know you have the I am who saved you and who's protecting you and who's keeping you and who's preserving you, you have all. If God be for us, who can be against us? You have all. What was the response? Now, these men didn't have liberty. They're under the dominion of the sin nature. They don't have faith in Christ. They don't have a love for Christ in their heart. They don't have discernment. They can't hear his word. All they can hear and see are the works of the devil. They are murderers of Christ. They will not abide in the truth of Christ. They're seeking their own glory. They're seeking their own honor. And they're scared to death of death. That's right. And here's the response. They took up stones to cast at him. Remember how this started? This chapter started with them with stones in their hands trying to kill a woman caught in adultery. And Christ said, if you're without sin, cast the first stone. And they were ashamed and they went out one by one. But the story ends with showing what their real intent and their real enmity was. They picked up stones wanting to kill Christ. And that's really what the heart of religion without Christ is. We're going to kill Christ. We're going to get him off his throne. And Christ went out of the temple through the midst of them and so passed by. All right, I pray God will bless that. Our Father, we thank you for this word. Pray you bless it to our hearts. Pray you really, truly give us this liberty, Lord. Thank you for that the Son, when he sets free, we're free indeed. Lord, keep us free. Make us stand fast in the liberty wherewith you've made us free. Don't let us become entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Keep us looking only to Christ. Forgive us, Lord, our sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.